Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, this morning to 1 Peter chapter 5. This thing of Christian living is, in the day and age in which we're living, is so vital and so important. It's amazing to see the struggle that is taking place today between a philosophical world that has a philosophy of life that's totally secular. That's where your humanism comes from. The Humanism Manifesto back in the 30s and then again in the 70s. And then you come to the Word of God, you come to the Bible, as I heard Pastor Jerry say on the radio this morning, the old black book, and you come to the Word of God, and then as you start reading the Word of God, you see, hey, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa here. There's a different philosophy being taught in this book than that worldview which says that you have a great, 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 great granddaddy that was a monkey. And you know, I feel sorry for the monkeys because, well, I really do. I don't think it's fair that we blame the problems we have in this world on the poor monkeys. They didn't have anything to do with it. They're scapegoats is what it is. But you have a Bible, you have the Word of God, which says that in the beginning, God created. And so consequently, this thing of Christian living is critical today. Because, you know, when I was in school, and I know you all have a Christian school here, thank God for Christian education, but all my education from a kindergarten to through high school was all in a public school. Now, we're talking a few years ago. If I remember, I think Lincoln was president. But in our public school, in our public elementary school, junior high school, and high school, we read the Bible every morning. We prayed every morning. We saluted the American flag every morning. Every morning for all those years that I was in school. Now, I graduated from high school in 1951. So we're talking now over 60 years ago. But over those 60 years, our nation has come from where it used to be when I was the age of these young folks sitting down here in these first rows, to where it is today, where there is absolutely no religion, never mind Bible, no religion in our secular world today as far as government is concerned. The only exception to that that I know about is, and this is sometimes hypocritical, because they still have a chaplain to open the House of Representatives with prayer in Washington, D.C., as I did in 1993. When I stood in the House of Representatives, the representatives, the congressmen, the congresswomen from all over the country sitting out there, and they invited me to the podium to begin their session asking the blessings of God upon their deliberations. Now, that's the only place I know of in our entire government today. And so when you come to the Word of God, there is a tremendous, I think, need that we understand, that we must understand that there's guidelines in this Bible for the child of God to live like God wants us to. And I want you to look with me at that fifth chapter of Peter. We're going to look at verse number 5, and I'm going to read through verse number 11. And I wish I had time to go back into chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, because there's always remember in your scripture, there's usually a building that's taking place. For what's in chapter 1, there's a purpose. Because when you get maybe down the road a little bit, you're going to see why chapter 1 is the way chapter 1 was. Right. Always remember that. But look with me, if you will, please, at verse number 5. And let's see here what the scripture says. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves, and that's an interesting word. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Look at verse number 8. Be sober. Now, that's not talking about be free from alcohol. That's talking about be responsible. Take responsibility for your life. You know, the devil didn't make you do that. You did it. See, it wasn't your brother. It wasn't your sister. It wasn't your wife. It wasn't, you know, your kids. It was you. You did that. Be responsible is what the Word of God is saying. Look at it goes on. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who both called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, there is some tremendous teaching that we need to capture the significance of as a child of God living in this day and age when there is this absolute warfare, spiritual warfare going on between a secular worldview and, again, a spiritual or religious or biblical worldview, if you would rather use that word. And it's imperative that we understand that. I wish we had a time, as I like to say, if we could go back into the, you know, chapter number one and chapter number two. In chapter number one, Peter says, he says, always remember, there will be trials and sufferings in the Christian life. Just because you're a child of God, there's not going to be problems. There's not going to be issues. But when you come down now to what he tells you in chapter five, as to how you're supposed to deal with the, how about that verse, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Say, you come to chapter two, and in chapter two, what he's talking about there, he talks about the walk and the work of the Christian. As a child of God, you're to be walking with God. You're to be working with God. When I was talking to Pastor Jerry here on the phone, several times we talked, but he was telling me about what you all are doing as, I think you're calling it Let Your Light Shine or something like that, and these other communities. That is so, so exciting. Amen. To this old man. Amen. To where you're actually going into a community and you're going into their businesses and you're knocking on their doors and you're telling them, hey, we love you. We appreciate you. We're thankful that you're doing what you're doing for our community, for Greene County. Wow, I mean, that's exactly what Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2. That is absolutely, it is literally incredible. And we could go on, you know, and tell you about some other things that he has there in chapter number 3 and chapter number 4. But what I want you to see here in chapter number 5, I want you to see 4 simple things that I think is so vital and so important for the child of God to embrace in this secular world in which we find ourselves living as a child of the King. And we can do it, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now he says here in verse number 6, he says, be humble. Be humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that ye may exalt you in due time. Always remember, when you see the word therefore in your Bible, as you see here, when it makes that statement in verse number six there. When you see a therefore, remember, it's there because of a wherefore. Because of what you are experiencing in your life, that therefore is referring back to verse number five. And what it's teaching us here, what it's teaching us, is that we are to be humble. Now, the thing we need to remind ourselves of, though, is that when we are humble, we are not necessarily weak. It's not declaring yourself to be, you know, Mr. Milquetoast. That's not what the Word of God here is talking about. Undoubtedly, Peter is remembering that the tragic results of his own life. Remember Peter and Jesus? Boy, Jesus, I'll never forsake you. I'm Peter. You can count on me. I'll die with you before I'll forsake you. Is that what happened? Huh? No. Peter gets down the road just a little bit. And here is this burly fisherman. He's letting a little maid, a young lady, intimidate him as to whether or not he walks with the Savior. I'm convinced of it, Pastor Jerry. Peter is relating there back to his very own experience that he had with Christ. He's relating back to it. He remembered that pride that was there. He probably, I don't know that the scripture, it doesn't say this, but he very well could have related back to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs. He could have related to that truth that was in Proverbs, where pride cometh or goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Be humble. Be kind. Be gracious. Just because we're a child of God, we don't want to come to the place where, you know, I don't drink and I don't chew because I don't run with the people that do. No, we want to be reaching out to those people all the time. And when Pastor was telling me about what you all are doing in these different communities, I thought, man, alive, would to God we could get churches all over the United States of America to start doing that. You don't know the results you're going to see from that campaign. You don't know yet. But I do know this. If one soul gets saved through that outreach, it'll be worth everything you've done. Especially if that soul is one of your loved ones. Maybe a brother. Maybe a dad. Maybe a father. But be humble. That's what Peter is talking about here. Now, if you look here at verse number 7, here's his second admonition. When he goes on and he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The word care that we have there in our Bible, it's the Greek word in your Greek New Testament. The Greek word is merimeth. And what that word translates, it means anything that distracts, anything that divides, anything that creates fear. What God is telling you and me, he's telling me, hey, don't carry that around. Don't carry that around. Mirana. Mirana. Cast it on the Savior. He's the Son of God. He's inviting you and he's inviting me to cast all of our cares upon him. That includes all of our anxieties. It includes all of our troubles. We have an invitation to literally bring them into the presence of a loving Heavenly Father and ask him to help us. And if it's in the Bible, folks, we can go to the bank with it. Remember what Jesus, take your Bibles and go over to Matthew 6 with me for just a minute. Look at Matthew chapter 6. This is the Savior on the Sermon on the Mount. And I want you to look at a couple of verses with me there. Verse number 25. Let's look at verse, we'll begin reading there with verse number 25. And notice what it says. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? And he goes through with scripture, I'm sure you're familiar with there, when he talks about the fowls in the air, and he goes on in verse number 27 and says, which of you, having taken thought, can add one inch to your stature? You know, that's not in your domain. You know, I'm losing. I'm going down. I used to be 6'1". I'm 6'1". And I'm seriously thinking of getting a pair of platform shoes so I'm not shorter than Ellie. I'm just kidding. But seriously, and these are wonderful, and these are the teachings, remember, of the Savior. And you come there to verse number 33, and he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. Phenomenal teaching. So remember what he's talking about there. Learn the principle of casting all your cares upon him. And then you go on and you look at verse number 8. And there's another what I call golden nugget that comes out there. Because when you come to verse number 8 and you read there in what he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There comes here a very significant teaching when he's talking about this thing of responsibility. Be responsible. Be vigilant. Peter there undoubtedly had learned that every believer must guard against the subtle approaches, you know, and the deceptive, destructive attacks of Satan. I mean, you know, the kids sing about it. Would to God we'd listen to it. You know, the devil is a sly old fox. If I'd catch him, I'd put him in a box. I'd lock the box and throw away the key for all the tricks he's played on me. Boy, it'd be a good day if mom and daddy start singing that. Because what the scripture is telling us here. Matter of fact, go back and look at Luke chapter number 22 with me. Because Jesus himself warned Peter about the devil's power. And if you look at Luke chapter number 22 and look at verse number 31, you'll see there in that 31st verse where this is the Savior speaking. And he said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may what? He may sift you. He may sift you as wheat. So he had been warned. And always remind yourself, beloved, always remind yourself that the devil is seeking to destroy what you are seeking to do for God. And so we must be mindful. We must be mindful of being responsible, being vigilant. As to the fact that we have an enemy, and he is not only the enemy of God, he's the enemy of the church, and he's the enemy of your home, and he's the enemy of your life. I just last week had a dad come to visit us in our home in Sebring. Sat in my home while he sat in his motorized chair that he has. And he said, I wanted to come over before you left. I don't know if you heard or not. He said, but my son, an ordained Baptist pastor, whose father is a retired veteran missionary, he said, my son and his wife have divorced. Now that son and daughter-in-law had been married 31 years. Now do you think that the devil had anything to do with that? That is what you call not rocket science. And don't you sit there this morning thinking, that'll never happen to me. Because except for the grace of God, that could be you or me. But God has given us these wonderful, precious truths to help us, to cause us to be more than conquerors in Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Well, let me give you the last one, because the last one is in verse number 9. And this is not rocket science, because Peter says, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, whom resist steadfast in the faith. In other words, resist. Don't let him get a foothold. Don't let him get, a toenail in your door. Resist. Understand that. I don't care if you read the Bible through 100 times, read it to another 100. Spend time with your God in prayer every single day. Be understanding. Recognize you're in a battle. You're in a warfare. And your enemy is a true, vital, strong enemy. And so resist, though. Resist. I can look in my own life, and God knows I thank Him and I praise Him for the times that I was able, by the grace of God, to resist. When I was in training, when I went to Tennessee Temple, left Southern Bell Telephone Company, moved my wife and our three children at that time, to Chattanooga to attend Tennessee Temple. Went through the college, went through the seminary, then to the land where few are called and many are frozen. But I could remember working at Western Auto there. And because God was blessing me, because God knew I needed the job, I had to pay rent and I had to pay a tuition, and I had a wife that was at home with three little babies, and so God knew that, so God was blessing me. But because the regional manager saw that I was doing so well in this store where I was, Western Auto, where I was selling. He wanted to put me into the training program of Western Auto to become a manager. And I told him, I said, well, you know, you don't understand. I'm here just to earn a living so I can do what I know God wants me to do in my life. I said, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that, because I'd still be back in Minnesota or in Florida, where I was working for Southern Bell Telephone Company, and I was making a lot more money there than I'm making here. Because when we had a hurricane down there, and we worked, you know, 18 hours out of the 24, and that's what we worked. And it was the reason that we did that was because we were bringing home a paycheck every 2 weeks of over $1,000 for the work we were performing. And $1,000 in the 1950s was pretty good money. We had bought a new home for $9,700 with $60 a month house payment. How do you like those apples? So what we see here, people, we see four wonderful, simple principles where God says, capture the significance of what I'm saying. God's got a plan for your life, and it's a wonderful, wonderful life. But you got an enemy who's going to try and destroy it. But God says he doesn't have. He doesn't have the wherefore, and he doesn't have the wherewithal if you'll simply follow my plan. So follow it. 1 Peter chapter 5. Those are wonderful verses of Scripture. Don't forget them. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for saving us. And oh God, I pray if there be one here this morning that does not know Jesus as Savior, that Lord, before they leave this property this morning, they'd come to know him who's to know life everlasting. Bless now, we pray, the morning hour, the choir, all that takes place, God. I pray that it be pleasing in your sight. Bring honor and glory to your name, and God will thank you and praise you for what you will do. For we know, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.